You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Over the past few weeks, we've been digging into Social Security and the future of retirement benefits in this country. Now, that's not all the Social Security Administration provides, of course. It also handles disability payments for people in need. But there are massive backlogs and wait times when it comes to getting a hearing for disability benefits for people like Joyce Otteng. She filed for disability benefits in 2014 because of severe osteoarthritis, bipolar disorder, PTSD, and depression.
I thought they were going to look at it and give it to me right away, maybe in months or so, but I waited so long.
Otteng was initially denied benefits, like about two-thirds of disability applicants, so she appealed. The first hearing into her case took place 2 years later. During that time, she couldn't work. Finances were tight.
It was difficult.
But after a year of hearings, Otteng was awarded monthly benefits of just over $1,000.
It helps. It helps, but it's not enough.
That's about the average payment for disability recipients. But for some, benefits come too late. Last year, according to the Social Security Administration's own Inspector General, more than 7,000 people died while waiting for their disability cases to be heard. Miriam Hurwitz is an attorney at New York Legal Assistance. She works with low-income New Yorkers seeking disability benefits, and she's had clients die waiting.
I think the system is clogged. I think that there are many more applications now than there used to be, as well as more denials. And so for each denial, then you need to have a hearing, assuming the person appeals.
The Social Security Administration declined to be interviewed for this story. But we asked the administration's former commissioner, Michael Astrew, what he thought of the backlog. He was commissioner from 2007 until 2013. According to Astrew, the problem isn't due to the initial application process. He says about 6% of applicants should pretty clearly just be allowed to get benefits.
Those cases are usually decided within about 10 days, 14 days, sometimes within 24 hours.
The vast majority of applicants hear about their status in 100 days, give or take. So then, where's the backlog happening?
The problem is on the back end, where if you're not happy with the first two levels of decision, then you have your right to appeal. And that's where the backlogs are. That's where you're having 1,000-day waits. And the system has regressed more quickly than it was fixed. And that's really, it's a terribly sad situation.
We talk about the backlog, but I also want to talk about the benefits in general. We've heard from a bunch of different listeners. Benefits vary a little bit, but they're about $1,000 a month when we're talking about SSDI. Is that enough?
You know, that's a judgmental question. Right now, it's not a conversation we can really afford to have because the system as a whole is insolvent. Right now, if you're a young working adult, you're looking at a system that, 15, 20 years from now, unless there's some significant change, it's going to start paying you substantially less in terms of benefits than what people go right now. It would go down to somewhere between 75 and 80% of what people are going, what people are getting now. So the question
right.
really isn't, I think, the question on the table for the Congress for the immediate future is not whether it should be more, it's can't you get your act together to pass legislation to make sure that the benefit levels at least stay about the same to where they are now?
Well, this seems to be the sort of dual problem issue in talking about Social Security overall, not just on the disability front or on the old age front. You have recipients who say, this money is not helping me survive. On the other hand, if you look at the basic math of the agency, we are creeping up pretty quickly on insolvency. And so how do we tackle this massive thing?
Yes, but let's talk about what insolvency means because
right,
you know,
it's not as scary as it sounds. I feel like
right,
that can really freak people out.
It's an actuarial term of art. And you know, in regular life, if you and I were to be insolvent, that's really bad. That means there's no money left. That's not what it means for Social Security. What it means is the trust fund over a 75-year period is not able to pull out to pay the full benefits that it is paying at the moment. And so right now it varies a little bit with the economy from year to year. But right now the trustees are saying that in the some point in the 2030s, benefits, unless something changes, will be reduced to about 77% of where they are now. And that's bad. Now,
yeah.
But 77% is not nothing. It's not nothing. If you get disabled, it still would make a huge difference. You would still qualify, depending on whether it was SSDI for SSDI, you'd still qualify for Medicare. And in many cases, for disabled people, the qualifying for Medicare is much more important than the cash benefit.
Okay, so you and I can have this conversation about Congress needing to do things and fraud in the system. But if you are listening to this and you receive or are counting on receiving either old age benefits or disability insurance, it's got to sound kind of academic and frustrating. Like, that doesn't really help you pay your bills or get through the week. I mean,
sure.
How should a recipient receive all of these kind of academic conversations?
Well, I think if you're a recipient right now, it's difficult. I mean, you know, the conversations are going to happen. I think the important thing is not to panic. The fact that Congress seems dedicated to an action, I suppose, is a consolation in some sense. The people that really need to be concerned are younger Americans. And right now, the system really is an intergenerational transfer from younger Americans to middle-aged and older Americans. And I think a lot of them are frustrated by that. They think that there'll be nothing there for them. And I don't think that's right. But the question is, are we really living up to the social compact of Social Security? And I can't say that we are.
Let me ask you a 30,000-foot question. What is the goal of Social Security, either the old age benefit or disability insurance? Is it to cushion expenses, you know, help out a bit, or is it to live on?
No, it's not to live on. It's never been set up as a system to live on. It's been to supply baseline support for people, originally just people who were old, and then later people who had a severe disability. But particularly with regard to retirement, it has always been meant as a supplement to private savings and pensions. And so when we talk about
on the disability side, though, you know, if you can't work, that's tough.
Yeah, that's bad. And that's why Congress expanded the program to the insurance program in the 1950s and as the welfare component in the 1970s. It's a recognition that in a compassionate society, you don't relegate people at the bottom end of the spectrum economically to a life of severe suffering. You try to ameliorate that as best you can. But make no mistake about it, if you've got no other income and you're disabled or retired, that's a very small amount of money to live on, particularly in certain parts of the country. I mean, if you're in an urban area, it's particularly – most urban areas, particularly on the East Coast and the West Coast, very difficult to live on that.
That was Michael Astrew, former commissioner of the Social Security Administration from 2007 to 2013.